Morning. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Alive Ministries. This is a great time of year. Fall is coming on. I look at it as deer season. And also, it's been just about a year that we've been doing Word is Alive Ministries, and we've been able to stay on the air and keep on going through donations from people that have kept us up. And we just appreciate that so much. Being on the radio up there costs money. And we appreciate that. There are some that have been praying, and I appreciate that too. I know that that is so meaningful, and you've done such a great job, and I just want to applaud you for all that have helped us out, that keep us going, and we're going to continue on as long as we can. This morning I'm going to be in Matthew chapter 16, begin with, and also a little bit also in Mark chapter 8, because they're corresponding scriptures about the same event, and we get the same answer. But this is a question that Jesus is going to ask. He's actually going to ask two questions, and we're going to look at this because he's going to ask, who do you think I am? And I want to ask you that. Who is Jesus to you today? Because I'm telling you right now, as I see it, and I talk to a lot of different pastors, a lot of churches, I talk to different people, and there's such a confusion in churches of who Jesus is, and they've got these different ideas about who he is. But chapter 16, verse 13 of Matthew. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias," that's Isaiah, "and some others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." All right, so they've come to Caesarea Philippi, and he's sitting with his disciples. He's not with the multitude. He's with a small group. His close, we might call it an entourage today, but it's his close disciples, the ones he called off the shores of Galilee that have been following him. They've been going with him and listening to him, watching what he's doing, observing him along this way. And so he's sitting with them and just having a little alone time. And this is true fellowship, discipleship, teaching time. And he's going to ask them a question. And I think questions are so great, and they're so valid and so needed in our world today. But yet we've got to this point where if you ask a question, you're thrown down if it doesn't fit the narrative that someone else has thrown out there. This is in politics, society, even within the church. I've seen this too many times when a question gets asked by someone, and someone will shoot them down as if they don't have any faith. You know, they ask, "Well, how do you deal with this kind of situation?" "Well, you just need to get closer to God." You know, that shouldn't be. Questions should be answered. But this point, it's Christ that's asking the question of his disciples, and he's wanting them to think, because that's what it should do. It should cause us to think. The first question he asks is, "Who does everyone else say I am?" You guys have been following me around. You know the people. You've been out there. You've been, you know, when the multitudes get here, people are saying things. He said, "Who do they say I am?" Now, in this case, he's going to give some of the Greek names, but the first one we get is John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was prophesied in the Bible. He would come from the wilderness, and he would come prophesying or teaching, preaching about Jesus. He was the forerunner. He was kind of the guy that paved the runway for Jesus to land, so to speak. And he was the one that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He was that guy. He was also the guy that wanted to make sure when he was in prison and said, "Hey, go ask him, make sure." And then Jesus said that no man born to woman was any greater than John the Baptist. So he elevated him. Jesus elevated him, but John the Baptist, they're saying, "Well, you're John the Baptist. Come back. You know, you're that guy that, yeah, they thought they beheaded him, but here he is." And they were even a little afraid of that. Herod was a little bit afraid of that. You know, what was going on here? The other one they said is Elias. That's a Greek name for Isaiah. And they said, "He's the prophet Isaiah." Isaiah talked about him. Isaiah wrote about him. You know, we get the suffering servant. So That's natural. John the Baptist, he's preaching about salvation. John was preaching about salvation. So, okay, we make those correlations. So they're saying, okay, some people are saying that. And all these things are valid. All these things are things that you can see it. It's logical that people would think about that. John the Baptist. And we see Isaiah. Isaiah was a great prophet. Isaiah is sandwiched in the middle of our Bible. It's like a mini Bible. There's 66 chapters or 66 books of the Bible. All these things are in a play. They would know these scriptures. They would have been taught these scriptures and they would say, well, it must be him. He's talking about a lot of the same things. Well, Jesus was validating Isaiah through fulfillment of the prophecy. So that's a valid statement too. Another thing was Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached about God and about the judgment of God and how he had judged the nation. So this thing, you say, okay, well, it could be Jeremiah. So the first question is, who do the people think that I am? And so I think that's a question that we need to address as Christians. We need to address as the church. Who's everyone else saying that Jesus is? We've got to address that. We've got to look at that. We've got to look around and not criticize and say, oh, well, they're terrible for thinking that, but look at it and go, why are they thinking that? Some of it's very logical. Some of it's because we haven't addressed it. Some of it's because we haven't gone out in the community and taught people. We try to keep it to ourselves, like we've got some sort of secret that we should never reveal to anyone. So who does this world say that Jesus is? That's what he's asking his disciples, because they need to know this. They're going to have to address it. They need to have an answer to this. And all of these things, like I said, are things that we could look at and go, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. And we need to be careful when we deal with people that we don't just jump down their throats. We get too much of that. People just saying, oh, well, you know, you don't know anything. Well, of course they don't know anything. Did you know anything when you got saved? Maybe you were raised up in church, but still you didn't know anything. You don't have to know all about the Bible. You don't have to know about everything in order to get saved. And Jesus was adamant about that. So they give him some answers. They give him this and this. Now, here's the thing, too. Some of them were probably thinking kind of the same thing. So they're given the answer of saying, well, somebody else is saying this, but they're almost questioning, say, well, you know, what do you think? They're given these answers, you know, and you know, I'm going to tell you, you know, we've had great Sunday school programs, but our Sunday school programs have gotten to the point where they're not answering the questions. And the biggest part of it is because we're not getting into the Bible. We're not studying the Bible. We're not getting that, and we're not checking it out, and we're not looking into the scripture instead of looking into what God said. We're not getting into that. We're looking at a commentary and saying, well, it's this or that, you know, and so our Sunday schools are lacking in answering the questions, and we need to get back to the Bible. And Jesus is the Bible. Jesus is the Word. He's the one that answers all those questions. And so we've got to get to that point where we get into the one that can answer it, and not just some commentary, and not just, oh, well, can you read that part and can you read this part? We need to know this. And so Jesus is saying, who does the world say I am? I would ask, who does the church say he is? Who does the church say he is? Those that are born again, who do you say? And I get so many different answers too. I mean, well, he's a sugar daddy. He's the one that brings everything to us. He's the one that does all this stuff. He's this or that, you know, and we get so many different answers, but we've got to answer the question. We've got to get to the point of, this is the question. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he to you this morning? As you're sitting there, as you're standing there, as you're driving, whatever it is, who is Jesus to you? Is he just that cool guy that you end a prayer with? Is he just that teacher? Because there are so many answers to that question that people will give in and out of the church. Was he a great teacher? Yeah, he was a great teacher. Was he a prophet? Yes, in a great sense, he was a prophet, because he was fulfilling everything that had been foretold about him. And he was telling us exactly what was going to happen. He was giving us that. who do you say he is today? Then he asked another question. He said, but who do you say I am? So I was talking about that they had in their own mind who Jesus was. And in answering what everyone else was saying, they were answering some of this for themselves, because I'm sure at this point they weren't real sure. They were curious about it. They knew this guy's something else. You know, he's called us out. We followed him. He is doing all these things. He's creating miracles and all of that. And we need to know as well who Jesus is. And so Jesus asked them the question. So I'm asking you as a child of God this morning, and you need to answer this honestly. Who do you say Jesus is? If he was standing in front of you today and said, who do you say I am? How would you honestly answer that? I'm not talking about what you think I'm going to say, or what you think the preacher wants to hear, or what somebody else wants to hear. Who is he truly to you? He answers this question, or asks this question, and then Simon Peter answers it. Because he answered and said, thou art the Christ. Now see, this is significant. We say Jesus Christ, and I even heard a comedian saying, why is Jesus the only one in the Bible who has a last name, Jesus Christ? Well, that's not his last name. It's not a surname. That is his title, Christ. He is that Redeemer. He is a kinsman Redeemer. He is the one that came to take the sin of the world upon himself and be that sacrifice. He is the Christ. And this was something, because this is who they were looking for. These guys, that Jeremiah, Isaiah, John the Baptist, they were all talking about the Christ, the one that was to come. They've been looking for him for centuries, saying, we know he's going to come. But they had so many misconceptions about him. They were looking at him as he was going to come as the king that was going to establish the nation of Israel and take over and just run the Romans out and be that king again. He was going to be King David again and rule everything, rebuild it all. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for a conqueror. They were looking for a guy that was going to come through. If they'd read Isaiah, they'd have seen that wasn't what was going to happen at first, but it was eventually going to happen. Yes, he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But first he had to come and allow us to be back with him. He had to do something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And that was to die upon a cross. So he said, thou art the Christ. And then he added, the Son of the living God. Now, this would have been important because around them, there were other people that had gods and even sons of this God. But this was the Son of the living God, the only one. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this was the answer that they were given, and it is the correct answer. And it entails so much within that it encompasses all of these other things. Is Christ the provider? Yes. Is he our friend? Yes. Is he a cool dude? Yes. All of these things. But we've got to get back to the point of realizing he is God. John talked about him being there at the creation, that everything was made by him, and that without him, nothing was made that was made. He did it all. Throughout the Old Testament that we call it, which is just a division there that we can wrap our minds around, he was there. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. You say, oh, no, I watched the movie. That wasn't him. Yeah, it was too. He appeared to Joshua at the wall of Jericho. He was there throughout, and he's always been. He came in human form for us. He lowered himself for us. He brought himself down for us. It wasn't a thing where we created this situation for him. It's not a thing where we're going to create a situation where the world's going to get better and better and better, and then he's going to come back. That's not our responsibility. We can't do it. We couldn't do it in the first place. We can't do it now. Look around the world. Are you going to tell me that everything's getting better and better? That, oh, well, the kingdom has already been established and now everything's better? Really? Can you look around and say that and be honest about it? No, it's going to take him, when he comes back, establishing himself again. He is the Christ, but he had come for a particular purpose. Now I look at this, and I can read this scripture, and I go, well, yeah, sure he is. Don't you remember what he said over here? And they didn't have that. They had a man who was standing in front of them, who had taught and done some great things, who was so profound that people would multiply as he went into places. All of a sudden they'd just be there. There would be this, they call it a multitude. We call it a crowd. All of a sudden there'd be all these people that were wanting to listen to him and hear what he had to say. It was so much so that a little guy, Zacchaeus, just wanted to see him and see what this was about. He'd heard so much, and it was in his mind so much that he wanted to see Jesus. All of these people, and when they would meet him, they knew there was something different. So they're sitting here with this guy that even the demons would say, the Holy One. They're not sitting here with everybody looking on a movie set. They don't get all that. They're just with him, and he's asking them a question. They may have been sitting under a tree. Maybe they're eating a sandwich, just taking a break, and he just pops his question up. I don't think this was like a church service. I think this was just a bunch of men sitting around, and he just said, hey, I want to ask you a question. And so they're giving their responses, and then Peter gives his response. And he said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. Now, before we go and start saying, well, oh, great Peter, man, he had it nailed. You got to look at what Jesus said to him. Because Jesus answered him and said, he said, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. That means son of Jonah. He said, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. He said, man, you're blessed. You're blessed because you just got something. But it wasn't flesh and blood. It wasn't the people out there. It wasn't a preacher that told you this. It was something else. Folks, we got to look at this. We serve a supernatural God. We talk about this, and we talk about, well, this happened and that happened, but we don't really look at it in the way we should. Supernatural. We have natural all around us. We see things. We know they're happening. You know, my wife and I were sitting out on our back deck, and we've been watching the sun change position in the sky. That's natural. We see that all the time. We see it speeding up. We see the trees that change in the spring and the fall, and we see the things that happen. We know about where the rain is going to come from. We see all these things. We see animals preparing for winter and having babies at a certain time, and we see all these things, and they're the natural things, and we say, well, this is the way it happens. We know this happens, that happens, and we even put ourselves in those natural things because we understand that. That is the natural thing because it goes on all the time, and it's the way things are supposed to be, but God is a supernatural God. There is no natural way that all this got created. There are even scientists now that are going, there is no way this just happened. It couldn't have been. They had different theories, ripple theory, big bang theory, you know, and then they got down and said, no, it was a whimper theory. You know, it just happened, but something came out of nothing. Well, even if you believe one of those theories, then where did the nothing come from? Because nothing was not really nothing. It had to be something because something came out of it. So it wasn't truly nothing. You say, well, that's crazy. No, it's true. But we know it because God created it, not in a natural way, by his voice. He spoke it into existence. All things that we see around us, he spoke into existence. He created them. The one thing that he didn't just speak into existence was us, mankind. He said he formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul because he wanted that fellowship. And then we messed it up. You say, well, it was Adam. That's us. Because we're lumped into it ever since the fall of man. So now we've got this. but we serve a supernatural God that has ways above our ways, thoughts above our thoughts. We can't truly understand it. I'm constantly amazed. You know, I understand that God is going to do things. I understand that. I believe that. I believe that God is going to take care of things. I believe that he is going to come back. I believe he's going to call us out. I believe all of this. I don't understand how he's going to do it. My mind can't wrap around that because I see things in this simplistic, natural world, and it's hard for me to grasp. I can see it sometimes when it's happening. I can surely see it after it's happened and go, oh, now I get it. But beforehand, I don't look at it and, you know, I see the steps, but I don't know how we're going to get there. But I believe it. So he tells Peter, he said, flesh and blood, the natural stuff, did not reveal this to you. Now I can just imagine the rest of the guys, they're standing around and go, what? But he just asked us what everybody thought. You know, what's he talking about? And he said, but. So see, here's the answer. He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you. That's just the situation. But the answer is this, but my Father, which is in heaven, he's revealed it to you. Now, he goes on to tell Peter some different things, but we're not going to get into that today. But he's letting him know, you've just been given something, Peter. You've just been given an insight into something that nobody could answer here today. Nobody else could come up with the right answer. And it's only through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and accepting him as Lord of our lives that we can come up with that answer, that we can come up with that belief, that we can come up with that feeling of knowing that we can rely upon him. So today, if you're one of those in the world and you've looked at Jesus and you go, well, I'm not sure. I'm going to tell you he is the Christ. He's the one that died for your sin. He's the one that paid the sin debt that you have. Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the answer today. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one that came, the only one that could, that came and made the sacrifice for our sin. You must answer the question today, who is Christ? And if you don't allow him to lead you, if you don't allow the Father, the Holy Spirit to guide you to him, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it by just thinking about it because you're in the natural world and that's all that you can really grasp. That's all that you can really get. But you need to look at him and say, I accept it. And I'm telling you, there'll be so many things that'll be revealed to you. I mean, through the word, it'll start speaking to you. You'll get into God's word. You'll get with people because once you get saved, you need to be in a Bible believing church. Find you one that preaches the Bible, teaches the Bible, that you can learn from, that there are good people in there that you can be mentored by. I'm not talking about people that have been sitting in a pew for 45 years. Some of those you really don't even need to be listening to because they don't know the Bible, period. It's been amazing to me throughout my ministry that there would be movies come along and people that I would think would know better would come and ask me, well, when did this happen? I go, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, I saw it in this movie. When did this happen? How did it happen? I go, it didn't happen. It's not in the Bible. They made that part up and they didn't know that because they haven't studied their Bible. Child of God, you need to get into this Bible. You need to learn more about Jesus every single day. And you will, the more you study, the more you read, the more you will learn, the more you'll realize you need to learn. I'm constantly finding things in the Bible. And it's through scriptures a lot of times that I've studied, not just read, studied and pored over. And all of a sudden there's something new. Something new for me. It's a little building block. It's kind of like the little Legos you put in together and you create something, but you, these little bitty things and you create all this. So you need to get in that. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. Peter, you've been given something. do something with it. Do something with it. And he tells him he's going to do something with it. But who do you say Jesus is? First question is, church, you need to realize who the world's saying Jesus is. That's what he's asking. Who do they say I am? Because you need to know that. Then you need to answer that for yourself, so that you can answer it for them, so that you can go and you can talk to them and tell them this is who Jesus is. We need to be that shining example. Our church in the United States is broken. Now that rankled a bunch of you. Our denominations in the United States are broken because we've allowed ourselves to rule it instead of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've got to get back to saying he's the one in charge. What does he want to do? And be able to listen to him and allow the Father to guide us instead of ourselves and what everybody else thinks. We've been jerked around by the culture so much that we don't even realize who we're supposed to be. We're ambassadors for Jesus Christ in this world. We're supposed to be his representatives, not our own, not somebody else. It's not about suits, and it's not about organizations. It's not about committees. It's not about all of these little things that we do. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. What if all that stuff went away? Some of these people would be distraught. They wouldn't know what to do because they've never truly been an ambassador for Jesus Christ. They've been an ambassador for a church, a local church, an association, or a denomination or something. That's who they've been an ambassador for instead of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to tell Peter, you're going to be my ambassador. You're going to build my church. You're going to be there to do this. You see, a church is not about a building, about stained glass, about great pews, and about all this other stuff. It's about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we've forgotten about that. We've let everyone down. It's myself included. I'm not just pointing fingers. I'm telling you, but we've got to get back to it. We've got to get back to it. We've got to get back to the point where we're professing Jesus the Christ, the only one. And realizing that a lot of this stuff is just fluff. Look, I'm not against Vacation Bible School. I'm not against camp. I'm not against block parties. I'm not against all these things, maybe wild game suppers, whatever it is, and all these things that we do. I'm not against those things. I'm just telling you, we've lost our focus. We're more into that than we are Jesus. It ought to all be focused on him, and the rest fall into place because we're being led by the Father. Peter didn't even realize that Jesus had to tell him, you didn't come up with that on your own. And I'm telling you right now, we don't come up with anything on our own. None of it is ours. It's all about him. Souls, a harvest is his. We're just workers in the field, and that's what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be going around bragging about all these things, you know. I've known people that, you know, they keep names in their Bible of all the people they've led to the Lord, like notches in an old Western movie on a gun belt or something. You know, that's not what it's about. I'm not saying they're wrong about that, but I'm telling you, we're to be about Jesus Christ and him crucified, not of ourselves. Never was about us. I just think about these guys sitting around and listening to all this, soaking it in and getting the answer that they really needed. Why did they need that? Because they need to take it into the world. No matter what we get, we've got to take it into the world. Who do you say I am? First question was, who does everyone else say I am? And they came up with all kinds of answers. All pretty good ones, actually. All that kind of fit. But not really. They weren't the right puzzle piece. They just kind of fit in there. There were some aspects of it. Seemed like it was pretty good. Then he said, well, who do you say I am? And one guy that spoke up, he said, yeah, you didn't come up with that on your own. Don't be bragging. Don't think you're any better than the rest of them. My Father's revealed it to you. Here's a message this morning. Jesus Christ died for your sin. Defeated death so you can have eternal life. So that you could cry out and say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I'll worship you forever. I hope that you will do that today. I hope you will give your life over to Jesus Christ. Accept that free gift. Don't rely upon a church. Don't rely upon a preacher or anybody else. You rely upon Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Him and devote your life to Him. And you'll be able to answer the question. Well, thank you for allowing me to be with you today. My name is Charles Morgan. Word is Live Ministries.